Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We're doing Set Out in the Ring. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
Another one of the competitors, Eric.
What's up?
And representing his YouTube channel, Elite Diplodoc, if I'm saying that correctly, and the Twitch Sneaky Fetty, my buddy Sean's here.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Obviously. Pretty good.
And, of course, can't forget my other judge, Stevie's here. We're doing pretty good. Before we get into it, Dougie, you got some plugs?
Yes, I do. All right. Make sure you listen to Boxman and Spark, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, mixer.com/DirtSheetDudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Use it around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. And of course, tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, you can catch them for the Hollywood Hangout, their movie show. Mixer.com/DirtSheetDudes. Catch us every Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight, Settle It in the Ring. Next week, we are going to have, and I should probably message him to remind him, we're going to have Barry Horowitz on the show, and we're going to be talking Survivor Series.
Next week?
What?
Next week. Yep.
Yeah, next week.
Wow.
And we're going to be talking Survivor Series 1995. That is the plan for next week. 2 weeks. The plan is right now, unless somebody has a better idea, to do the November 18th, 1996 edition of WCW Monday Nitro, when we find out that Eric Bischoff is a no good bastard and he joins the NWO.
Okay. I'll watch that one.
Yeah. So that is the plan for right now, unless somebody has a better idea. But good luck trying to get it past me. Well, Daniel can. And then, of course, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time here at blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. We'll be Unscripted Unlimited. And the big thing tomorrow night on Unscripted Unlimited is Big Brother House Guest Tier List.
Yes, sir.
So there might be some controversy in our rankings a little bit. I mean, I think that the majority of the Big Brother House Guests are, even though they're good game players, I think they're horrible people. But so we'll find out how everybody really feels about their gameplay tomorrow. But we're not ranking them as people. We're ranking them as game players.
Yes.
So that'll be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Daniel and Mindy with the Scaredy Cats. And they will, of course, update everybody on what the show is going to be about on Sunday. I'm assuming as soon as he talks to Mindy.
Yep.
And then, of course, next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, the NFL Hard Hit Show with Stevie, Eric, and Glynis, usually around 7 p.m. Eastern time, either Tuesday or Wednesday. And, of course, catch Sean on his YouTube channel, Elite Diplodoc, and on the Twitch, Sneaky Fetty.
Yeah, Sean, what games you playing over there, man? Tell the people a little bit about it.
Right now, I just play a lot of Twitch. I'm either playing Rome Total War or Civilization PC. When I'm on YouTube, it's any type of PS4 game like Black Ops, Zombies, just a variety of watching me fail. That's how I have to put it.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to do that, definitely check out Sean's YouTube channel and his Twitch. It's entertaining content. And you guys want to get into it?
Why not? That's why we're here.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to start it off. I'm going to go over the rules a little bit real quick. We got a new competitor, and Sean. Doug is defending his Settle It in the Ring championship today.
Yeah.
This is our debate show. So we're going to have four rounds here. I'm going to ask a question each round. I'm going to give it around to everybody. Everyone's going to give their initial pitch, and then we're going to ring the bell. And then we're going to get some heated debate, some arguing, talk a little shit, And then at the end, me and Stevie are the judges. We will each give a point. We each have a point to give at the end of every round. At the end of the whole thing here, we'll add up all the points, and whoever's in the lead wins the belt. If it goes to a sudden death, I have a special question for that, too.
But, well, I'll try not to let it go to sudden death. I mean, I usually tank the first four rounds anyway.
All right, boys. So we're going to start with our first question here. I sent it to all you. You all have answers ready to go. The best gimmick match of all time. Doug, I'm going to bring it to you. What is the best gimmick match of all time?
I'm going to say it's a street fight. And the reason why I'm going to say it's a street fight is, like, you know, back in the day they used to say, you know, steel cage match, that's where you, you know, end the rivalry and all that. Like, that's always the, you know, closes the chapter of the book. But I think this street fight really is that, because we've seen some excellent street fights over the years. It's probably the greatest street fight of all time, Triple H and Cactus Jack at Royal Rumble 2000. The street fight between Shawn Michaels and Triple H at SummerSlam 2002. Okay. You know, Shawn Michaels has been in several street fights. He had a really good street fight against Edge on a Raw. It's just like, the street fight to me is, you know, two guys beating the shit out of each other. That should be the way to really end a feud. And that's why I picked it as the best gimmick match of all time, because to me, that's what settles a rivalry.
All righty. Eric, what do you got? What's your best gimmick match of all time?
Money in the Bank ladder match. This was debuted in 2005 at WrestleMania 21. It showcases a lot of people, sometimes young talent, depending on the brand and depending on the year. But yeah, and the winner cashes in and usually wins the title and establishes a new star. So I chose Money in the Bank. I love this. I mean, it's died down a little bit and over the years, but it's still a great con, still a great gimmick match.
Absolutely. All right, Sean, what do you got?
All right, so I totally mentioned this question a few hours ago. I thought it was the worst gimmick match. So am I allowed to change my answer?
Yeah, I was a little weirder about anything on a poll, so go ahead.
I'm wrong. So if it's the greatest gimmick match, I'm going to have to say the hardcore match. I don't know if that goes into like street fight, but the reason why I would pick a hardcore match is because it's one of the only gimmick matches that is able to work within any wrestling organization. Like, even if it's a small independent scene, like, they can still do it, and it brings in people to the game. I mean, you can't really do a Money in the Bank because that's kind of a WWE type thing, and like, you don't really see street fights anymore, so I would have to say hardcore match.
Alrighty. Alright. Ding, ding. Doug, why is yours better than the other two?
Well, first of all, mine's better than Sean's because I couldn't hear half of what Sean just fucking said. So already, I think that should disqualify it.
Sorry, you are.
But as far as, you know, my choice goes, Money in the Bank, yeah, was a great concept the first couple of times, but then, like, some of the people you have win the thing, like, and then, like, they have short, like, 3-week title reigns, and then, you know, they give the title back to the person that they wanted to have it in the first place. So, establishing stars, you know, I guess, but no. The street fight is basically, it's how you settle a rivalry. And the hardcore matches over the years, you know, especially when WWF had the hardcore division, those hardcore matches were goofy. You're hitting people with fucking mops and toilets.
Well, you do that in street fights. In street fights.
Shut up. It's my turn.
No, let's go through your turn, guys.
But, like, the street fight, like, you're actually getting hit with a barbed wire bat. You're getting hit with a, you know, thumbtack, a ladder, a chair. You're going through a table. The hardcore match, you're getting hit with some goofy gimmick props. You know, it's like you're fucking, it's like fucking T.L. Hopper supplied everything for the hardcore match.
Oh my god!
At least, you know, with the street fight, at least they went to Home Depot and bought everything. All right, hardcore match. All you had to do was go to Tony Anthony's house and get all his TL Hopper shit.
Please let me do that.
Your rebuttal show.
Here's my rebuttal to that little statement. A street fight, you know, you're slamming people onto cars, you know, it's kind of boring. And then you get certain street fights like the one you brought up with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, where it's basically a hardcore match with extra steps. Chairs, ladders, tables, barbed wire. Look at Edge and Mick Foley's hardcore match at WrestleMania. Table on fire. Barbed wire, and it's Mick Foley. He uses real stuff. That's my rebuttal. It's the same thing.
Eric?
My rebuttal is they basically cancel each other out. It's not really any much difference between the two. The ladder matches featured a lot of highlights and great matches, and especially like the one at 21, and it has its own pay-per-view now. You see it once a year. Even the women's division now has a lot of Money in the Bank. So I just think Money in the Bank is better than those two.
Are you good, Doug? Or
and he would be wrong. All right. One of the Money in the Bank ladder matches, the guy that won the match didn't enter the thing until 30 seconds before it ended. Because he had to wait till Heyman got finished jerking him off.
Is that Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants.
Exactly.
Yeah. But on Eric's point, I like how it is diverse. You don't really see a woman's street fight or hardcore match.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pay-per-view named after it now, too. I mean, yeah, there's... go ahead.
Yeah, no, you do... I mean, there have been women's street fights, though, in women's hardcore matches.
All I can really think of is Trish or Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it a couple of times. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure China was probably in one, right?
That's just the video she did with Sean Waltman.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, savage.
Wasn't Sasha and Bailey in one, too?
Can you really count the PG hardcore street fights really what they used to be, though, in the PG era?
Sure. I mean, unfortunately, he's got a point.
All right, ding, ding. All right, you get all that, Stevie?
Yeah, I did.
All right. I think I'll give my verdict first. I'd say good first round. You guys all made a lot of great points. Sean is right about the hardcore match, about how you can make it work in every company, but he also kind of backstepped on his point and said that they don't work in the PG era, which is true. Street fights and hardcore matches aren't as interesting as they were before, whereas the Money in the Bank still is. There really isn't too much of a difference between your guys' picks. There is a bit in a street fight because that's Hulk Count Anywhere, too, technically, right?
Well, no, the hardcore match is.
Okay.
Hardcore match is,
You all made a lot of great points. I think I'd have to give it to Eric and the Money in the Bank, though, just because that separates itself from the other two a little more. It's kind of hard to pick between a street fight and a hardcore match.
That's it. My cards are getting worse.
So I'm going to have to give my first point to Eric. What do you think, Stevie?
Well, you guys made a lot of great points. I mean, it's probably a tough decision, but if I were to go with somebody, I'd probably give it to Eric, too.
Oh, shit.
So I'll give my point to Eric.
All right, E-Nash.
The one that didn't even want to be part of it gets the first two points.
I'm sorry, man.
No.
I wanted to be part of it.
I'm making fun of Eric.
Oh, okay. Hey. I'm sorry.
But I just like it. Oh, all right. That's cool.
I don't know. I agree with a lot of the shit that Eric said. And to be honest, you guys kind of beat the shit out of your points enough to where Eric kind of just stood standing.
Yeah.
But so I would have to get – so E-Nasty's starting out 2-0. So Eric starts off with 2 points. We're going to the second round here. I'm going to start with you, Fetty.
Oh, great.
And my question for you is, what is the worst rivalry of all time?
Man. So I picked the corporate ministry versus the union back in, you know, the late 90s. Just because now this is just my opinion. When Vince McMahon announced that he was like the higher power, whatever it was, in the corporate ministry, I thought as soon as that happened, the entire feud just instantly died. It didn't matter at that point what happened afterwards, or like, you know, their final ending match that, you know, whoever wins is the winner of the rivalry. And the reason I say that is because I thought before that happened, it was actually pretty interesting. And then he just had to get involved again. Like, if it was somebody else that, like, revealed it, like, you know, Ric Flair or, like, Shane or somebody not Vince McMahon that has to take all the credit for everything, I think it would have been better. But once he revealed to be the higher power, I thought it just died right then and there.
Solid point. All righty. Doug, what do you got?
The British Bulldog and the Warlord. Back from 1991. All right, so these two guys, WWF ran 5 pay-per-views in 1991. The Royal Rumble, WrestleMania 7, SummerSlam 91, Survivor Series 91, and Tuesday in Texas. And every pay-per-view, Warlord and Bulldog were in the ring together. And not once did Warlord come out on top. Bulldog got the best of him every time. It was so one-sided, and to be honest with you, like, the WrestleMania 8 match wasn't even that good. The match was 8 minutes, 8 minutes and I think like 10 seconds, so it was about 7 minutes and 57 seconds too long. It's just like Davey Boy, like, they were trying to get him, over as like a really good mid-card baby face. And for some reason, they felt like the Warlord was the guy to help get him over. The only thing Warlord had done up to that point was he was the guy that would inject the steroids into the Ultimate Warrior's ass. So, you know, how you think that a guy that, you know, puts a needle in Warrior's ass is going to help get another guy over, I don't fucking know. But, I mean, the matches sucked. I mean, at least, like, Royal Rumble and Survivor Series and SummerSlam, they had other people in the ring with them to kind of make them look better. But every one-on-one match the two of them had, like, one, Warlord didn't win, and two, they sucked. So that's why I'm going with that.
Okay. Eric?
I went with Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy. When Matt Hardy turned on his brother in 2009 Royal Rumble, costing the title against Edge. I just thought, I mean, that the idea was nice. I mean, brother versus brother. But I don't think it clicked. I don't think it finished. I don't think they had chemistry as a rivalry. They're better as a tag team. But I just didn't like rivalry.
All right. Ding, ding. Doug, what makes your feud shittier than the other two?
Okay. So at least, like, with Matt and Jeff Hardy, they at least, like, split everything.
like, there was finally a big payoff in the end. Like, yeah, Matt won the first couple of matches, but then Jeff finally came back and won one. All right, my rivalry, Warlord didn't do shit. All right, as a matter of fact, like, he couldn't even put the steroids in the Warrior's ass at Survivor Series 91 or Tuesday in Texas because Warrior had been fired. So he couldn't even do the only thing that he was good at. So, and as far as the corporate ministry and the union goes, I mean, that whole thing, like, the union was a stupid gimmick. You have Vince McMahon come out with his sleeves rolled up and a 2x4. I mean, he rolls up his sleeves a lot more now, but that's just so he can give the hand jobs to John Laurinaitis and Nick Khan.
Jesus Christ.
You're making my point. I'm on nine should be the worst.
But, like, as far as...
You are.
Yeah, well, if I can help somebody else but Eric win, I'm okay with that.
It's sad that you choose me to be that guy.
Yeah, because I dislike you both the same.
Jesus.
Oh, that's messed up.
But the thing about the ministry, the corporate ministry and the union is at least, you know, for the most part, you had decent workers, you know, in that feud.
Right.
Well, decent workers and Visser intact. But, like, in my rivalry, you had Davey Boy, who was a good enough worker if he was being carried and if he wasn't on the gas. Warlord couldn't work at all. And in Eric's rivalry, the matches, at least between Matt and Jeff, except for the WrestleMania match, those matches were good. But in mine, the matches weren't good at all.
That's what you get when you're in the 80s.
But the corporate ministry and the union, like that one match they had at the Over the Edge pay-per-view, like, at least that was a decent match. But yeah, like when Vince McMahon came out and you know, killed the rivalry, you know, or like Sean said or whatever, I mean, it wasn't necessarily that killed the rivalry. It was the fact that the union was a stupid gimmick. But at least everybody involved in that could work. And my rivalry ranks, my rivalry the worst is neither one of them were that great of a worker.
All right. Eric, you got an argument for that?
Matt and Jeff, I think that storyline was forced down their throat. The matches were good, but I just don't think it clicked with the fans.
All right. Sean, what do you think? Well, why is yours worse?
Well, I mean, Doug kind of put it in the concept. You know, you get Vince McMahon with the sleeves rolled up, walking out with the union, and then all of a sudden switches, and he's like the higher power guy. And what I meant by it, when I was saying, like, that killed the rivalry, I think it killed the people's interest more into the rivalry than it actually killing the rivalry itself. I want to, like, and by that, sorry, it's like people just didn't, like, oh, that's not shocking that it's Vince McMahon, you know, behind it all. Granted, the only plus side that I would say about the rivalry is Taker's entrance music at the time was pretty dope. Best of his career, in my opinion. Just saying. But then, yeah, like, the union was a stupid gimmick. It's always the same old wrestlers. Granted, they do good work, but, you know, you never see anybody different or, like, somebody else that deserves a small push. But yeah, my whole thing was like, you know, it's just Vince McMahon being Vince McMahon and ruining everything. That's why I think mine's the worst.
You good, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, well, he does make a good point.
All right. Ding, ding. Stevie, I'm going to let you give your verdict first. Well, what do you think about all that?
I think very good points from all of you. So if I'm going to have to make a difficult decision, I'd probably give my point to Doug.
Oh shit! There you go, Dougie. Dougie's on the board.
Well, I to be honest with you, all I want is 1 point. So like, because usually like, and the ones I don't win, I get like shut out like severely. So. I'm not getting shut out here, so I'm happy.
No, but you're not getting my point. You can't convince me that the British Bulldog wasn't a good worker. He's one of my favorites of all time, and in the ring he was excellent. And to be honest, you kind of just helped Sean. So, and Sean made a lot of correct points with the whole – the union was an interesting concept for me at first. I agree that I do think that it could have gone somewhere, and I think Vince stepping and putting his nose in everything, just because everything that he did with Austin worked, I think this is around the time that it was getting to be a bit much, that Vince didn't really have to be in everything, but he still was forcing himself down people's throats. So I don't, no offense, Eric, I just don't think you really gave me enough on Matt and Jeff, but I would have to go Sean. My point's going to have to go to Sean.
Oh, that's fair.
I wouldn't even give it to myself.
I mean, it sucks that, you know, Eric's still in the lead.
But we got a close race.
Oh, just wait till my next point.
Oh, shit. 2-1-1, and we're going into round 3 here, and we're going to talk about the ladies.
Okay.
The greatest women's wrestler of all time, Eric, what do you got?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did you not know Bailey? That was one of the questions?
I didn't know if you meant in general or just of all time. So I just chose Bailey. But I guess I'll try. Give it a try. I think Bailey's a good heel. She held the title for almost over a year. She's good on the mic. I don't think she was a great babyface, but when she turned heel, I think that's was her turning point in of her career, and I think she's great in the ring. Her matches with Sasha were great, especially in NXT Brooklyn, was fantastic. So, yeah, I think all around, I think she's great wrestler.
All right, Sean, who's the greatest women's wrestler of all time?
All right, so I had a small issue with this question, to be honest, because it's kind of hard to pick between all the eras, especially before, like, this early or late 80s where women's wrestling wasn't really showcased as much until you got into, like, late 80s and the 90s and stuff. But I decided to go with AJ Lee, and here's why. Not only is she hot.
Jesus Christ.
I felt like... Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. But she's also married to the greatest wrestler in the world, CM Punk. And I honestly thought that her mic work was really good. Like, she could either be a heel or a babyface, and she made both work. But she was kind of, like, interesting on the mic at her time. With everybody else around her, I thought that she definitely was on top just for her mic skills. And she was also a good wrestler. And she was a champion for a long time. So I would pick AJ Lee.
Solid. What do you got, Doug?
I'm going to go, you know, even though women's wrestling in the 80s really wasn't like what it is now, I'm going to go with one of the greatest women's wrestlers of the 80s. I'm going to go with Sensational Sherry. And I'm going with Sensational Sherry because she could do just about everything. Not only could she wrestle, but she could manage. She could talk. She had, you know, really good promo. She was nuts. She could beat the shit out of all five of us. I mean, if she were still around.
That's not really hard, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the one she'd have the toughest time with would be Daniel.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Yeah.
Eric she'd have down in 3 seconds.
Hey.
But, oh, you're a pussy and you know it. But, like, Sherry is just... Sherry's ring work was very underrated, you know, for that period in time. You know, when she was in the AWA, seemed like she was the women's champion forever. She's a great heel. Not necessarily a great baby face, but I think the heel work, you know, speaks for itself. And her heel work stands alone. And, you know, when they wanted her to wrestle, you know, in the WWF, she could wrestle. I mean, her and Rockin' Robin, for Christ's sake, drew a big house in Paris, France. They were the ones on top. Well, they were semi-main to Macho Man and the King. But they were on the main marquee in 1988. WWF's first trip over to Paris. I think about 25,000, 30,000 people, those two working the semi-main, they sold the tickets. All right. That, and this was when Vince was starting to phase out women's wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. But Sherry played a big part in that.
All right. Ding, ding. Sean, what makes AJ Lee better than Sensational Sherry and Bayley?
Best in the world. All I'm going to say.
You kind of need more than that if you want the point, jackass.
No, okay, listen. Okay, here's a good point. She was managing Dolph Ziggler. He won a title. She tried to go after John Cena. He didn't want her because he, you know, whatever. He's weird. He didn't want that. And then, you know, she's married to CM Punk, a long champion. She just is set up for success by banging champions, which made her a champion, which makes her great. If you used your body to get away with it.
Okay.
All right, Doug.
First of all,
honestly, she was a good worker, and she was really good on the mic. You can't deny that she wasn't, like, probably in the era she was in, she was probably the greatest one that could work a mic. And I know that sounds wrong, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
She'd probably work a guy named Mike.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, like, her, she had a small pipe bomb. And, like, you're talking about girls in the 80s and selling out Paris. It's not hard to sell out a bunch of sissies, okay? That's my point in Paris. Screw Paris. They're nothing. They have a tower. That's all they're known for, is having a frickin' tower.
Well, if anybody would know about being around a group of sissies, it would be you, pal.
Hey, I was that one of a stretch.
You can't say that, bro.
But, like, as far as AJ's pipe bomb goes, she cut a pipe bomb on the Bellas. Triumph the Angel Stomach Dog.
It was funny,
because
they were even faker than her. They were the fakest girls in the company.
It ain't that fucking hard to do to insult those two. All right.
It's not really. Yeah, it's not that hard. You're
so,
right.
Like, it, you're talking like that's such a big fucking deal, you know? The first
not
word
a big
that
deal
I hear from Bella's son's mouth is going
to
be, "Mommy's a slut." All right. Sensational Sherry was
it's
way
a nobody.
Ahead.
Nobody remembers her. Nobody remembers her. Only people in your timeline remember her.
All right, shut up.
All right. Listen,
Sensational
Sherry
was way ahead of her time. She could beat the shit out of Elite Dipshit here.
Oh, that's, I mean, I'm not denying that either, but, I mean, come on.
All right, even though she's dead,
how
she's
are we defining this greatest wrestler in the world, though, and have Trish Stratus not in the conversation then?
That's what I was waiting for.
Nobody picked her.
Like, honestly, if we're going, like, you can't base it off of just
the fucking change your answer in the middle of it. Shut the fuck up. You made your point. AJ Lee's the greatest wrestler of all time because she's had former champions.
I'm sorry. I thought this was a debate. I'm taking this presidential wise.
Apparently she's on birth control.
All right. Here. What do you got?
That was fun.
Me?
Yeah. What do you think, Eric? Throw your hands.
His is going to be two sentences.
No. Shut up, Doug.
Oh.
All three are great wrestlers. And all three were great in the mic. Bailey is current time. She held the SmackDown. She's the longest reigning SmackDown women's champion of all time. She's good on the mic. She's good looking. She has great matches. One of the most memorable matches of all time in NXT history was Sasha Banks and Bayley. People still talk about that today. So, there.
All right. First of all, Bayley good looking? Blind men can tell you how ugly she is, for Christ's sake.
I agree with you, Doug. I agree with you.
Her finishing
move is a belly to belly. You basically tackle a girl to the ground.
So here's the thing. First of all, Shawn is my favorite opponent ever.
You're going to get hate mail from Clint.
Yeah, well, guess what? I mean, Clint doesn't make enough bookings for him to be, my favorite opponent. All right? Clint only does a football show. He's too good for the wrestling show. All right? Sean has done the cartoon show when we've asked him to. He's done this show. Sean right now is my favorite. He's my favorite opponent.
All right, well, you got anything else, or am I ringing the bell?
You might as well just ring the bell because I'm putting him over again. Just stop.
Can we just base it off of finishing moves? Because, I mean, a belly-to-belly is kind of weak, and I don't know what Doug's girl was finishing move. I don't even remember AJ Lee, but I'm sure it was better than a belly-to-belly.
Hers was the Black Widow, that tarantula type move.
Yeah,
when
she wrapped herself around your neck.
Yeah, which, by the way,
who wouldn't want to be a part of that?
You can pretty much wrap yourself.
Who wouldn't want to be?
A part of that finishing move?
All right. Good round. Well, I think that was an okay.
That finishing move is how she's had a lot of champions in her.
Jeez, dude.
Well,
thank you for greatest of all time.
All right, well, no matter who I give my point to, woke culture is probably hanging me off the roof. So I can't give it to Sean because his two major points was that she slept with champions and that she's hot. But AJ Lee was very underrated on the microphone. AJ Lee was the best worker of her time during the Total Divas era, and this was, like, right before the Women's Revolution shit. She was kind of the one spearheading all that.
Yeah.
So, Sean's right about all that. You were right about
that show.
No, she refused to be on it. That was her whole thing. I think that's why she cut the pipe bomb, too, on the Total Divas chicks.
Yeah.
She refused to be on the show. But Sensational Sherry is a legend. I will say that a lot of the points can go against you, Doug, because a lot of people remember her as a manager. I think... Because since her heyday in wrestling was the late 80s, you can't even find a lot of her shit anymore. There's a lot of the stuff if you want to search Sensational Sherry on the network, you're seeing a lot of managing roles. So I will say that kind of goes against you a little bit. And I think Bayley has done great work, and Eric's got a point there, and she has been a really good heel. I do think her babyface run was a bit cringy, but she had a lot of the younger fans. So this one is very hard. But I think I'd have to... Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to have to give my point to Sean again. I might get shot, but.
It's okay. You got a point in my book, buddy.
Thanks, Sean. So that now, what do you think, Stevie?
You all made very well great points. I mean, strong points. Everybody remembers Sensational Sherry as a manager. I sure remember her as a manager. And AJ Lee wasn't that great at her promos either.
Oh,
and Bailey's, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Bailey. So if I'm going to give my point to somebody, I'm probably going to give it to Sean. I'd have to agree.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
So Sean is.
Thank you.
In the
You're
lead.
Welcome. Yeah. Sean is in the lead. He's got 3 points. Eric's got 2. I got 1.
You guys said it was a debate. I showed up.
He showed up. You might want to float this next one, though, or well, what is it? Fucking giving it up. What's the term? Yeah, fuck it.
Throw it?
Yeah, you might want to throw this next one so you don't have to come back. Because once you win the title, we need to bring you back.
That's fine. I like being on these things.
Fuck Aww. Yeah. Now, we do have a doozy for round 4. This is our last round. Of course, unless we end in a tie, then we will go to sudden death. But
I hope we don't go to sudden death.
But right now, it's anybody's game, except for maybe Doug's. It's 3-2-1.
Yeah, but I have a point, so I'm not, like, completely out of it yet.
Yeah, you could tie it up here. It really is anybody's game still. So we're going
to... I'm used to getting sodomized with a rusty fishing knife, but...
Yeah, right now it's just like a delicate butter knife. So we're going to start out with Eric. Eric, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what the... I know you picked... one that was already picked, so you have to go to your second choice. But tell me, Jesus Christ, Doug, be professional. Tell me your greatest era in wrestling.
The Ruthless Aggression era. This featured John Cena, Batista, Randy Orton, 3 legends right there. John Cena, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I mean, not wrestler, but one of the biggest merchandise. He was a face for over a decade. He sold, kids loved him. He sold everything at merchandise sales, sold out arenas, all the juice. And then Batista, a legend in itself, greatest, one of the greatest of all time. Randy Orton still wrestling today, still going at it at his age, still great. Yeah, Ruthless Aggression era was me one of the greatest heroes of all time.
All right.
It brought me back to wrestling.
It brought him back. All right, Doug, what's the greatest era? And why is it old?
Okay. So I'm going the golden era, golden age. 1984 till about, well, to be honest with you, like, yeah, the golden era lasted till about 93-ish,
yeah,
92-93, but I'm just going to say like 84 to about maybe 89,
okay,
maybe beginning of 90, and I'm going to say that because business really took off when Hogan came in, right? Nobody had been hotter than Hogan. Hogan was drawing record crowds and getting record ratings that they hadn't gotten since Bruno's first run. And Hogan basically, he's 4 years on top as champion, you know, had the record crowd at Pontiac, you know, with Andre, set all sorts of records there. The match against Savage at WrestleMania 5 where the Mega Powers exploded, all-time WrestleMania pay-per-view buys. It took years for that to get broken. Right? So, like, Hogan basically leading, and I'm not a Hogan fan.
No, you're not.
Okay. But, like, Hogan basically, he ushered in an era, and it's not just necessarily, you know, Hogan, too. I mean, the heels that he had to work with, Piper, Orndorff, Bundy, Andre, Savage, DiBiase, Bossman, Akeem. And then, like, you had your mid-card guys who were also, you know, in the B-towns, they were selling out arenas. You know, Madison Square Garden, you know, they would sell that place out. You know, Savage, Savage was good. And, you know, the merchandise and all that, that would come about. And the popularity of a lot of those guys. So, yeah, you know, my era's old. But guess what? It was the original era. It was the original money-making era.
Very, very true. Sean, what do you got? What's the greatest era of all time?
I picked the Attitude Era. So the reason I picked it is because not only do you have, like, the emergence of superstars today, like you have Kane that came in. You had Steve Austin start going up the card. You had The Rock at his prime. You had Taker, Shawn Michaels, DX. You know, you had all these people that we still talk about today and still see today doing, like, just crazy shit. And, like, of course, like, in the early part of the Attitude Era, you know, with the war against WCW, they were down in the ratings. But once they won it, I thought they just took off and everybody was all about it because you – would tune in every week not knowing what was going to happen. And I think that's what drew a lot of people in it. And then you still have, like, you know, The Rock versus Steve Austin at WrestleMania. And you have, like, Taker and Kane and DX and, you know, mm-hmm. women's matches started coming up more. But the women's title, like, I thought it was just an era where it all came together before the, you know, ruthless aggression and stuff. That's why I picked it.
Okay. All right, Doug, try to say something bad about the Attitude Era.
Can I just start with trash and the ruthless aggression era first?
All right, do whatever you want.
All right. So the ruthless aggression era, you got the ratings started to go down. Okay. After, you know, the Monday Night Wars had ended. And, yeah, you know, Cena and Batista and Orton, you know, they all turned out great and all that. But, like, when they all first came in, Cena came in as a white meat babyface with a Vanilla Ice haircut, but he wasn't Vanilla Ice yet. Batista came in as a deacon. And Randy Orton came in as Bob Orton Jr.'s son, okay? And it took Randy Orton about 10, 11 years for him to actually enjoy doing his job to where he didn't have to show up to work high every day and fail the occasional drug test. So Randy Orton didn't actually start getting, like, good until he got off the smack in the PG era. And, like, yeah, you know, John Cena, you know, one of the biggest stars, you know, a Hollywood star now and all that, and Dr. Orthogonomics was great and all that bullshit. And Batista, you know, once Batista got his mouth off Triple H's dick, then, yeah, you know, they were both great and all that, but also, too, you're building your company around these guys, but who's watching? All right? Now, it's kind of hard to argue against the Attitude Era because when the Attitude Era, in the beginning of it, when they were feuding with WCW and people tuned over to see Austin beat the shit out of McMahon and the DX stuff and The Rock and Mankind and Undertaker, Kane, and all those other guys, yes, it was groundbreaking, you know, television. It was cutting-edge television. But also, too, WCW was starting to suck. So if you want to watch wrestling on Monday nights, you could either watch a promotion that you know, is going downhill because Ric Flair doesn't know enough to get off the fucking TV. Or you could watch, you know, Sable flip out her titties. So Flair in his boxer shorts, Sable's titties. I'm pretty sure that, you know, unless, you know, the poofs are watching, I'm pretty sure they're picking Sable. So, but the golden era, here's the thing. Hogan and Andre set a record television audience, you know, record viewership for a primetime wrestling match. It still has not been broken. 33 million people tuned in to watch that match. Okay? Hasn't been broken, like, ever. The record still lasts to this day. It's been 33 years. And, you know, Hogan, again, all the record business he did with people. Like I said, he set, and it was the, and the record stood for a long time, you know, all-time, you know, pay-per-view buy rates for WrestleMania, you know, was Savage at WrestleMania 5. I'm not going to say who broke the, or who I believe broke the record, because that would just help make Sean's point. But still, they held it for as long as they did. Hogan, don't die while I'm making a point. Hogan basically helped wrestling become popular. Okay? And yes, Austin helped make, and the Attitude Era helped make wrestling popular again. Cena helped kill viewership. The Ruthless Aggression Era, yes, there's some great guys in that era, some very talented guys. But when nobody's watching the goddamn thing, who gives a rat's ass? And I'm a fan of a lot of the guys in that Ruthless Aggression Era. I mean, not right now, because I got to argue against them. But to me, it's just the original will always be the best.
Okay.
Sean, here we go.
What is the golden era lacking that the Attitude Era has?
I thought the Attitude Era just made wrestling cool. You know what I mean? It was just something that, because, okay, take today. You know, people will probably find you a little bit weird, you know, just general people, unless you're in a wrestling community, they're going to find you weird that you watch wrestling. You know, like, how do you find that entertaining? You know, and that's today. That's what I mean today. But if you go back into the Attitude Era, they're like, oh, yeah, they did some pretty cool stuff. Or, like, they remember it a little bit better, in my opinion. Yes, I agree with Doug about, like, Hogan making it popular again and, like, kind of giving it that push to, like, get to the chance of having an Attitude Era. But in the 80s, I personally think it was just a little gimmicky, a little way too gimmicky and way too, like, okay, these guys are going to be your heroes and you're going to like it. And then you transform into the Attitude Era and you're like, oh, well, I really like Stone Cold. Oh, but I really like The Rock. And they both have very solid points on why. And, you know, they just put on a lot of cooler style matches. And, like, yeah, who wouldn't want to see Sable pull him out, you know? Like, hello. Oh, and I'm sorry. About the Ruthless Aggression and Batista, didn't he start off as a Deacon's bodyguard?
Well, yeah, he was the Deacon.
He was the Deacon, okay. But still, okay, he carried around a briefcase following an aging wrestler, pretend that he's a pastor, in a wrestling company. Pastors can't believe in violence. So, like, if that doesn't explain that era, like, yes, they had good wrestlers, and they had a couple of good feuds and matches, but come on. You're carrying a briefcase and then you become like one of the best. What are you putting in your mouth? That's the question. You know? So that's all me.
we're having way too many blowjob references this episode. All right, Eric, save your game here. Plead your case. What do you got? Why is Ruthless Aggression better than the other two?
It's not.
I'm not going to shit on Attitude Era because that was my original choice. So, I'm not going to shit on the Golden Era because I didn't really watch it. So,
how the hell are you going to win it?
Ruthless Aggression Era.
How the hell are you going to win?
What do you say?
I said, how are you going to win, you idiot? The objective here is to shit on, I mean, not like literally.
Unless you're into that.
I won't even watch videos.
All right, Eric, what do you got, though? Why is your era better?
My era, I think it's better because, again, John Cena, one of the greatest wrestlers, one of the greatest, how do I put it, without saying wrestler, superstar of all time in WWE history. And he's still popular to this day. I mean, so,
he is the reason why a lot of people turned off their TVs in the Ruthless Aggression.
Let him go.
You had Edge in his prime. He was great. You had John Cena, Randy Orton, all in their prime. John Cena is a 15-time champion. Randy Orton is a, 14-time champion. Then you had all these champions. You had Eddie Guerrero and Benoit, too, Rey Mysterio. Yeah, I just think Ruthless Aggression there was better than those two.
All right. And he would be wrong.
All right. That concludes our final round.
I tried.
Let me start this off by saying this is a lot of fun, guys. Everyone, the whole match here, everybody, you know, really staked their claim. And everyone, you know, did what they had to do. And Sean did bring some knowledge, like he said he would. Really,
and I think everybody on this, everybody involved in this is actually a really big fan of blowjobs, just from all the
references. Yeah, a lot of fellatio. But I wanted Eric to sell me a little more on Ruthless Aggression because that is the era I grew up in. And I mean, you know, I was watching a lot of that shit with Sean and with you, Doug. And you know, I have a soft spot for that. Obviously, the Attitude Era. I think a lot of people would go with that off rip and say the Attitude Era. But you also made great points about the Golden Era and why that stood out. And that is the first era to really make money. I do think your Randy Orton point is wrong. I think Cracked Out Legend Killer Randy Orton was fantastic. But I think he was great on the drugs. But the viewership did go down. The people did stop watching. And, I mean, now you get less than 1 million every week. And that all started with the Ruthless Aggression Era. So it really does go – Sorry, Eric, but it would have to be between the Attitude Era and the Golden Era for me. I think you both made great points. Stevie, what do you got? What do you think?
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I did watch some of the Golden Era, but I was I didn't really care for the Ruthless Aggression Era that much, but I grew up watching the Attitude Era. So if I were to pick one, I would give a point to Sean because I always loved tuning in watching the Attitude Era on Mondays, and plus Austin beating up McMahon was fun to watch. So I give my point to Sean for the Attitude Era.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think great minds think alike, Stevie. I'm not trying to blow Sean here, but give him a third point. But I think he really nailed it on the head when he said it made wrestling cool again. And it made wrestling cool. And that whole point about how people are kind of like, when I tell people I'm a wrestling fan now, people just kind of look at me and be like, oh, so you don't get pussy. But when you talk about...
Then you point him over in my direction and it's like, no, he doesn't.
But when you look at the attitude, like, you had all the kids at school going, suck it and shit, and fucking writing NWO in the air and stuff. And It was cool. Even when, like, when I was growing up, I wasn't really quoting Cena and Batista and shit. I was still telling people to suck it. I was still doing Attitude Era stuff. Like, we would watch the old tapes when we would hang out, you know, with Jelly and shit. We would watch old Attitude Era stuff instead of the stuff that was going on at the time. So,
right.
You know, he really drove that point home, and I got to give my point to Sean, and I think you have dethroned Doug, because that would be 5-2-1, and that would make Sean the new Settle It in the Ring champion. Congratulations, Sean.
That would be
thank you.
But he still won.
Whatever.
I knew he would win.
Yeah. I'm happy he won, to be honest with you. I can't take the pressure as champion.
Great episode, guys. This is a lot of great content. This is fun fucking talking shit and arguing. And
Sean and I are really good at talking shit at one another.
Oh, yeah. I've been witnessing
it
for years.
It's all in good friendship.
Huh?
All in good friendship, Doug.
Exactly. But, like, him and I have been, I mean, well, Sean and I have been practicing, apparently, this debate for, what, it's got to be, what, 12, 13 years?
Probably.
Ever since he was a youngin'.
I would say so.
So, like, him and I,
I mean, we did wrestle
all
each
those
other.
Years of him and I just kind of going back and forth at one another. It was all in preparation for this moment.
Absolutely.
And he beat my ass.
He fucked you up. He did. He bet you over. Took you to the dog or the woodshed. Sean, we were
going to say he was going to put me in the doghouse, didn't
he? Anything. He's fucking you up. Sean, we will be in contact. We'll bring you back. We might try to get the gel tart in or something. We'll get you two new opponents.
I'm willing to take Jelly down.
Absolutely. I'd love to see it. And thanks for everybody for joining, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right, beautiful. This was fun.
Thank you, guys.
My pants.
Yes, sir. All right, guys.
Everybody have a good night.
You too, buddy.
Later.
Later.
Later.